We're into the third Sunday of Advent, focused on the desert, if you were here, and how God brings streams in the desert. This Sunday, we're going to focus on darkness. And what does God do in darkness? He brings light. Now, none of us were around, but writer Andreas Kostenberger wrote about this. Thomas Edison was not the first person to imagine the idea of electric light. I went back and searched, and there was numerous people before him who attempted to create electric light. And some of them were successful, but all of them weren't able to put it all together into a package and patent it. Thomas Edison was able to do that. Not after, though, years and years of experimentation, to the point in 1879, where he succeeded in creating the first incandescent light bulb. His invention transformed the way people think of and use light. Up to that time, it was candles and wicks and fire. But then light bulbs came. Imagine life without light. If you were to think back to your most vivid memory as a child, I'm asking you to go way back now. Think about your most vivid memory as a child in a dark place, and what do you remember what that was like? Well, I thought about that. It was when there was two particular houses, small houses in which we lived at the time when my parents were teachers. They were the teacherage houses, and the basements were not developed in these houses. But in the basement was a cold room where my mom stored all the canning and the jars and all that kind of stuff. And every once in a while, she'd send me go downstairs and get a jar of peaches or a jar of jam or a jar of pickles. And I dreaded that question because it was dark down there and there wasn't much light. And the light was a distance away from the light switch from where the light would actually be. And so there was emotion that came up, and most of the emotions were fear of darkness. Another memory that comes to my mind is more recent. So when this church was first built, it was built with an electrical main light shutoff switch that was at the front exit or entry. So that if any lights were forgotten, you shut off that one switch and then all the lights in this whole building would go off. Many of you would remember that. Well, there were some problems with that system. If there was people meeting upstairs in a Bible study or a youth ministry or in a back room, and the people leaving the building didn't notice there was more cars in the parking lot around the corner and thought that everybody was out, they'd turn the lights off and lock the door and leave. On your flashlight. What happened up here? Now, this was in the era of no cell phones. You couldn't open your cell phone and turn on your flashlight. It was pitch black, dark. So we'd be fanning the darkness, making our way down the hallway to get to the hallway to hopefully see a ray of light and then come and turn on the lights. And then when we got the security system, well, that posed a whole other problem. The alarm would start going off and the motion detectors would sense people. But I think we solved that before the security system came in. But darkness does something when you're in the middle of it and you see no light. It does something inside of you. Well, while we realize that light itself was not created by Edison, the opening chapter of the Bible reports that on the first day of creation, this is what God said. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Think about that. Think about what it was like before God spoke light into existence. Well, we just go back a couple verses. Genesis 1:1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water." Darkness, light into existence. And he spoke light. That's all he had to do, was speak light into existence. And so it was upon that amazing declaration in Genesis 1 that the Apostle John builds his gospel. And if you would turn to John chapter 1, please. From that phrase, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and spoke light." John says in chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. You see, the first thing we need to understand from John's gospel is that God's first act of creating, bringing light into being was through his word, through the spoken word. And that word, when we link it to John chapter 1, was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what do we need to hear, and what do we need to know about Jesus from John, about that light that came into the world? And the theme of light is throughout the scriptures. You see light and darkness, and God overcoming darkness through light. Two things I want to leave with you this morning, and then some descriptors at the end. And we're going to follow the same pattern as last week. He would make prophet Isaiah. There's so much in the prophet Isaiah about the coming Messiah and about the difference he would make in the world. And the readers in the new of the at the time of Christ, I'm sure their minds would just be saying, I remember reading that. That was written 700 years back by the prophet Isaiah. So number one, what we need to learn from John this morning is Jesus is the complete and true light. Verse 4, we read, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So in contrast between darkness and light, darkness often represents the powers of evil. Light always represents the powers of good. And that was very common understanding in John's day. So in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Notice what has more power. Light has more power than darkness. Carrying on, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all of God, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. When Jesus came, he came into a world of spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness. And even his own, it says in John chapter 1, didn't receive him because they were used to the darkness. If we jump ahead to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it was for God who said, let light shine out of darkness. This light that shines out of darkness has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the idea that John is bringing us here and that Paul is bringing us in Corinthians is that not the idea that everyone will be saved. We know that some will go to eternal destruction, separated from ever from the presence of God. But what we read from John is that there is no other salvation, that the light that came to every man and every woman and every boy and every girl needed to be received, as Jesus said. But to all who received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Well, firstly, Jesus is the complete, true, and light. And secondly, as we've sort of already alluded to, as light, Jesus is infinitely stronger than the darkness. Verse 5 again. The light, if there's a power source and the darkness has not overcome of it. You see, if there's a power source and electricity is connected to that power source and the wires go through the wall to a light switch, you flip on the light switch and the lights come on and the darkness goes where? It completely fades away. And that is the same idea that John is bringing here. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. You see, no one can keep Jesus' light from shining. He comes into a dark world, and he arrives, and he himself is light. And his light is eternal. It is unstoppable. It is infinite. And we worship this Savior. We referenced John chapter 7 last week. Feel free to turn there. We spent a little bit of time on John 7:37, where Jesus said on the last day of the feast, this is the Feast of Tabernacles, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Right on the heels of that announcement, and the dialogue is continuing in the temple, there's division among the people because people are saying, who is this person claiming, down to chapter 8, living water, claiming to be God himself? Well, if you go down to chapter 8, still at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, his next announcement is no less dramatic as the living water announcement. He says in verse 12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So this announcement, again, caught the hearers' attention. Of course, there's many Jews in the crowd. Many would have yet to believe that he was the Messiah. Many would have yet to choose to believe that he was the Messiah that had been promised for centuries. What happened at the Feast of Tabernacles, on the first night of Tabernacles, and apparently on every night except the Sabbath, those who had gathered, and people would come from all over the region for that specific feast, the worshipers would await the signal of a special lighting of festive golden lamps of Tabernacles. And the lamps were intended to remind the people of how God led his people of Israel out of the nation of Israel and led them through the wilderness, providing the pillar of fire to give light to them so that they would never be in every single night except for. And so the lighting of lamps at the Feast of Tabernacles was a significant event that happened every single night except for on the Sabbath, reminding them of God's light. Well, at the end of the feast, Jesus stands up and he says, I am the light. I am the light that God portrayed over the centuries. I've come into the world. Whoever follows me does not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then you go one further chapter in the book of John, right at the beginning of chapter 9. Let's start reading there. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming where no one can work. As long as I am in the world, again, here's that phrase, I am the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, Jesus will do his work as light of the world because he's the only one that can penetrate darkness that's all around us. What causes darkness? Sin causes darkness, brokenness. The man that was born blind, hopelessness, shame, and guilt. Now, the man that was born blind, his blindness represents dramatically the ignorance and slavery of every single person who walks around blind to the spiritual realities all around them. And so the event of the blind man's eyes that were open would have again been a familiar passage or familiar event to those present who knew the words of the prophet Isaiah. Because we go back to Isaiah 42, where it says, thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I've called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and I will keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, opening the eyes that are blind, to bring prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. And so when the man that was born blind, years and years and years have gone by, and then Jesus comes along and opens his eyes to see spiritual reality, to see spiritual truth, to have light and to have hope again. What a picture of Jesus coming as the light of the world. Well, God's great work in sending the Messiah, chapter 60, light that would come into the world, is a reflection of what happened, what was written back in Isaiah chapter 60. And I want to spend just a couple minutes there. Isaiah 60 represents the future glory of Israel, the future redemption of Israel. Let me read the first few verses. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. So people are covered with darkness. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And again, if you let me go back a few weeks to the book of Acts, we're in that season right in Acts chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, where the gospel is coming to the Gentile nations. And again, that's a reflection of Isaiah saying, and nations will come to your light. And God made it happen. People were coming to faith in Christ who were far from him. Well, Isaiah 60, three types of light that I want to close with. There's number one, creative light that creates. So not surprisingly, God's glory is likened to the light of the sun. As the sun is the source of light in the and we know that, so God is the source of light in the spiritual universe. And we know that there's moons up in our solar system. And when we look at our moon in the sky, we say, well, it's a full moon, it's a half moon, it's a new moon. The moon doesn't generate its own light. It only reflects the light that comes from the power source of the sun. Without the light of the sun, there's no light on the moon. And without the light of God's presence, all is darkness around us. The writer, Apostle John, wrote in 1 John 1, this is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. No darkness. And so added to the meaning of this analogy of light representing the glory of God, verse 1 we read, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now the readers of this were, of course, in the Middle East at the time, and while we visited there a number of years ago, I don't really remember the sunrises, usually because we were sleeping, because we were pushed so hard the day before. But my understanding is when the sun rises in the Middle East, it's not a slow rise where the dawn slowly opens up and the light comes. It's like a burst of sunlight, and all of a sudden there's light. And that's the imagery here. Arise, shine, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, has burst upon you. And that's what happens when the gospel of Christ comes into a person's heart where there's darkness. Jesus immediately brings his light of his presence and redemption and restoration. So his light is creative because it creates new light, new life. Secondly, God's light is redeeming. So Isaiah's imagery, you can also go back to Isaiah 9 verse 6, which we often quote. Isaiah 9 at Christmas time. Isaiah 9 verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You've multiplied the nation. You've increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. And verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince for walking in darkness. And he came for people who were walking where? Verse 2, they were walking in darkness. And they saw a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. That's what Jesus does to us, folks. That's what Jesus loves to do. Pours out his light on you. So this analogy of light representing the glory of God goes back, even again, to a very standout event in the nation of Egypt when the Israelites were under the burden of slavery under Pharaoh. God sent Moses to redeem them, and with Moses came 10 plagues to prove to Pharaoh that you need to let the people go. You need to let them out of slavery. The 9th plague was the plague of darkness, and this is what happened when God sent darkness upon the land. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt. Remember what you felt when you were a kid and you were just in complete darkness? God says, I want people to feel the darkness in the land of Egypt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. Imagine that. Who controls light? Who controls darkness? Well, God does. It says, but all another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the people of Israel had light where they lived. That ninth plague struck at the very foundation of Egyptian theology. And that theology gave priority to one of their gods. One of their gods was the sun god Ra. And they believed when they worshiped that sun god Ra that blessings would result. And Pharaoh himself, the prince of Egypt, was believed to be the embodiment, the physical representation of the sun god Ra. And so what could be a more dramatic climax for the encounter between Moses and Pharaoh for God to bring about a darkness that the sun god Ra could not flip on a switch and bring light? Well, John 1, where we started, referring to Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The people there didn't grasp it. Well, finally, the third descriptor, we have the creative light, the redeeming light, and the attractive light. Light attracts. City is in a valley. I don't know if you've ever driven at nighttime and you're approaching a city, and the city is in a valley. And if I remember, I believe it's Swift Current that's in a valley, and we used to travel there many, many times, had relatives there. And when you come from the north, you see a glow over the valley, but you see nothing. You see the glow, but when you get over the hill, then you see a city. Light attracts, light draws, especially a bright night in darkness. A bright light on a dark night will always get your attention. Back to Isaiah 60. It says that Gentiles and nations and kings will be drawn to the glory, to the light of the glory of God that will shine in Jerusalem. Well, folks, our purpose is to draw people to the light of Christ through what we do here. Jesus said in Matthew 5, so earlier he said he was the light that came into the world. And as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Now, Jesus lives in us by his Holy Spirit. And he said these words to his followers, Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. Wait a minute. We are? You are the light of the world. Stand so that it gives on a hill, cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand so that it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Well, how do we be a light to the world? We simply live out the life Jesus gave to us. In practical ways, Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. When you feed yourself upon the word of God, light bursts in your heart and paves the direction for your life and for your day, for your relationships, for your words. And so what step can we take this morning? Whether you're interested, seeking, curious what a walk with Christ would look like, how could you move from living in darkness, as that blind man was, into understanding spiritual reality and truly understanding Christ as your Savior? How could you move towards that? I would simply suggest find a Bible and start reading. Start reading in the New Testament. Understand what Jesus' life was like. What further steps could you take? I encourage you to join a small group to grow in your understanding of a walk with Christ. You can sign up at the Info Center for there. So that we could know his Jesus come. Jesus came because he loved the world and he came to give light so that we could know his Father, so that we could know eternal life, so that we could have a purpose for this life. And the time we take to get to know Jesus really matters. There's two reasons why it really matters. Because you're important to him. You're so vitally important to him because he made you. He created you for his purpose, to know you, to love you. He wants you to love him, to serve him. And you have the opportunity to know your Creator personally, the Creator of the universe, and to spread his light all over the battlefields. And secondly, Jesus opens your heart to live a life of hope and purpose so that you make a difference in a dark world. And folks, I don't think any of us would not be fully aware that there's darkness all around us. You have trials in your family and you're saying, God, when are you going to bring light and hope and change? And you're pouring out your heart. Many of you have been praying for the names that we have in the jar and continue to pray. Pray without ceasing for the folks that you love and you care about who have yet to have their eyes opened to the glory of the wonder of Jesus and the change that he can make in their lives. Continue. He says, I'm sending. The writer Paul said in Acts 26, he says, I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And friends, that's what Territorial Drive Alliance Church exists to do, to help people's eyes be opened from the power of Satan to God, so that they would be forgiven of their sins, healed of their pain, and walking with hope and purpose. I'd like to invite the worship team, would you come up and join me, and we'll be entering into our last song, as well as the offering that we'll be receiving for the Florins. Just for clarity, if you're making a donation, just indicate on the check, or you can use the debit machine in the foyer. Simply put Florin Seamless link on your offering. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord God, thank you for the incredible promise that Jesus was to come into the world to be the light. Father, to bring light and hope. Thank you that he chose to give up his life on the cross to redeem us from our sins, to rescue us from the dominion of darkness and bring in us into the kingdom of the Son. So Father, remind us that we can share that message wherever we go, that we are the light of the world. Lord, for those this morning who are struggling with all kinds of darkness, looking for hope, looking for some kind of reprieve, looking for a light at the end of the tunnel, Father, I pray that in your time and in your way, you would do that. Lord, would your word speak truth and hope and courage and faith into a further ring. And Lord, we receive once again these tithes and offerings for the furtherance of the gospel in a land that also lives in much darkness. Thank you again for Rebecca and Chewy. Thank you for the ministry in Mexico City and surrounding areas. And God, would you bring your light? May it burst forth like the dawn. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.